I think coming to be here in London is a long story. It took me maybe a year and a half to be in London. I started my journey when I was 13. I left my country, South Sudan. I was living in camp, in an internally displaced person camp. That happened as a result of a conflict that broke out in my country. That conflict led into a genocide that targeted the society that I come from. My father was killed in that genocide, and I stayed in the camp. We had to seek refuge within our own country under the UN protection. The camp is within the capital city, where 20,000 people were killed, and they had been hunted door to door. It's like ethnic cleansing. I've decided to leave the camp with friends. We were just escaping it, not actually living, because we didn't know where we were going. It was early in the morning. We wake up with a friend that I used to play football with in the camp. They said they were going to Sudan, South Sudan, and then Sudan. My mother, too, is in, you know, my hometown. And my hometown is like in the northern part of the country. We didn't have a mean to go anywhere, but we went into the port in Juba because there's a river Nile. We took a boat in Juba in the Konyo Konyo market. We were not permitted to go inside. So we had to just sneak ourselves. So what happened was, when we get down, we went into the market. Like within the port, there's like a market. We were a bit hungry because in the boat, there was a scarce of food. We just went into a one restaurant and there was a woman. She was sitting there and she looked at us. We looked really, really dead. She called us and she said, "Are you new here?" And we said, "Yes." I said, "Okay." She gave us food, fish in the kitchen. There are huge trucks that transport commodities around the area, exchanging them, coming and going. We went and observed one, and we found out that this one is, you know, definitely going crossing the border. And I took it and I went into the border. Four guys came with tuk-tuk. And then when they came, they say, "Hi, guys, how are you?" And they speak like a broken South Sudanese. So they ask us, "Where are you from?" And we say, "From the north." So, oh, okay. So we have a lot of many South Sudanese. We used to come this way. And then we help them. So we help them by, they told us that we know that you South Sudanese rear cattle a lot. You know how to rear cattle and take care of them. So I said, okay. So I used to do that with my brother. I can do that. They said, all right. So now, each of you would go with one of us. So to rear our cattle for a week. And then after a week, we will bring you together all. And then we give you your money, buy you a ticket, and then you go. I felt that something wrong is going to happen. Then the guy told me, "No, it's not happening. So you're not going anywhere. You have to walk in until you complete your task so that you can go." And then I remember I was running, but I don't know where to go. And then he ran after me. Then he was running, chasing me. And then I fought back, but I couldn't because he's older than me and heavier than me. After a month, I gained his trust and he thought that, you know, he completely won my trust. And then he told me that, okay, we shall go to Western Darfur and bring some livestock. And when we arrived, so we met a guy who is from Darfur. And that guy, he said, my auntie got married to a Nuer. So I have cousins that are Nuer now. So where are you from in Nuer land? I said, I'm from Bendir. He said, okay, so now you're my cousin. I said, yes, I'm your cousin. We had a good relationship, like we like brothers. He said that we have to go and bring more stock. Some cars came. Some people with guns just came out from those cars. So we rode that night in the desert. So we arrived at night, almost the break of the morning. We stayed there for like a couple of nights. And then after that, a taxi came. In a checkpoint, we saw some guys with guns. Then they stopped cars and they checked. They put him in chain and me too. Then they put us into their car. And then they took us into prison. So the prison was like, it belongs to smugglers. I said, okay, what are we going to do now in this prison? And then he said that we are waiting for our papers to be brought so that we can go out. So every morning I would get up and go into the door and look if the guy has come or not. Or maybe he would come, but he has nowhere to be seen. They sold me out to a family. And then they told me, "Do you see this man?" I said, "Yes." I said, "Go with him." I stayed with them for like maybe a couple of, you know, weeks. we went into the sea, like trying to cross to Italy. When he gives you a boat, so he will give you like a GPS. Our boat on the plank broke, and then almost half of us died. The Libyan Coast Guard came. They were alert that some people drowned, and they came and picked us, and then they took us back. When they took us back, the problem is not the Libyan Coast Guard that came, it's the smugglers. You catch a migrant in Libya, you have money. That's it. They took us into prison. And then that prison was worse than the prison that I had been before. All of them, they have been divided rooms. Each room has more than 30 people or more than 20 people. And then there's a big, you know, the huge room with over 80 or more than that people. We don't have to sleep a day again here. So we have to break this prison and go. They knocked the door. As soon as they opened the door, the guy was opening the door. He was caught on the collar. And then we charged onto the guys with guns. And then we have to disarm their guns. I just went and opened the keys, opened the doors. So almost 450 people that day were all free. The World Home, to me, is a place where you would always want to go back. It doesn't matter where it is. Because wherever you want to go back to, there is something that is calling you back. And that is where home is. Actually, there's a saying in Nuer language. It can be translated into finding humor in anything. I think that is almost a crux of any Nuer person. Even if he survived a terrible thing, later on he would go and laugh about it. I think it was in 2022, I got a modeling contract. So I became a model.
And you enjoy it?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, very much. If these people would have the same opportunity of freedom, life, education, there wouldn't be any reason for someone to leave his child, mother, father, sibling, just to be all alone here.